Welcome to the Hospitality Maverick podcast with me, Michael Tinkser. We at Hospitality Mavericks are here to inspire leaders to create heart-centered and profitable businesses from the inside out, the kind that both employees and customers love and support. Thanks to BizSimply for sponsoring this episode as our show partner, and BizSimply is the all-in-one HR, workforce management, rotation operations software designed and built by hospitality experts to make every shift run like clockwork. And we join forces to help the industry find new ways to become even more innovative in how we lead our people, how we operate, to how we grow our businesses, to how we serve our customers. Together, we want to share strategies and tools that can make the industry thrive long term, not just survive.
The boys are the heartbeat of hospitality. We're very lucky as a business. We have an amazing diverse workforce, and I think that, you know, if we can support that workforce better, if we can make them proud to work in hospitality, I think that that has a ripple effect outside of hospitality. It will bring people in, it will bring customers in.
Today, I'm thrilled to have Dan Newman with me. He is the Managing Director for Hospitality Rewards, and that's the first employee benefits platform for workers in the UK hospitality trade. And they are on a beautiful mission now where they are getting a lot of employees to get on this platform for making their life better for their finances, but also for their mental health and physical health. There's so many benefits around this platform. It's not your usual benefits and compensation platform. And I am a personal ambassador, as you probably can hear, for Hospitality Rewards, because it's not only a great product that makes both companies and employees' lives easier, there's also some awesome people behind them. True mavericks who want to make a dent in improving the employee experience in hospitality. In this conversation, we explore Dan's personal journey into hospitality, the core mission behind driving hospitality rewards, and the tangible impact it's making for employees' finances and physical and mental health in the hospitality industry. Dan shares some real-life examples of how customers have leveraged the platform's tool to achieve remarkable outcomes for their people. We talk about industry pain points and much more. If you want to get more insights on what Maverick leaders know and do, as well get more backstage info on the show, sign up for a weekly newsletter, Maverick Talk, 5 minutes each week that could transform your leadership and business forever. Find a link in the show notes or visit hospitalitymavericks.com to sign up. Now, join us for a compelling conversation filled with actionable insider, inspirational takeaways to improve your employee journey. Let's dive in and remember to be Maverick. Today, we'll be talking about how do you actually, you know, put a bit of extra energy into that employee experience. And we might be out of the crazy times where staffing was a huge issue, but I also think now more than ever, we're in the phase when I talk with operators, how do I actually build the employee experience so they stay with me, the people now I got on board, and actually how do we actually make sure we help them, not just at work, but outside work, and that goes everything from the mental health to economic health. And for that, we have a great guest today, actually, that can talk about, I think it's all about both, but actually mostly about how can we actually make sure that the staff actually have maybe a bit more financial headroom than they normally would have by working together with them and a brilliant product, Hospitality Reward. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, I hope I got your position well there, Dan. But give me a bit of an idea about who you are then. Lots of people know you're already in the industry, and what and how you actually ended up with Hospitality Reward and the mission you guys are on.
Certainly. So I guess I should say Hospitality Rewards, what we are to start with. We're the first benefits platform specifically built for hospitality workers. So we're a tool to help businesses with their recruitment and retention. And how did we come up with the idea? Well, I used to run a company called The Staff Canteen. It's the biggest network of professional chefs. So in doing that, I was out and about all the time, especially back of house in the kitchen. And what I could see was it was really tough for people. It was tough conditions. It was low pay. And, you know, and as a career, it wasn't easy. And I knew that we needed to do something about that. And running alongside of that, my business partner, Alex, had been looking at staff benefits within hospitality, and particularly had been tracking a company called Perkbox to see what they were doing with benefits. And what he felt was that they weren't doing enough for hospitality workers, and that there was something that we could do to support those workers and support those businesses. And so we looked at that, we went back through everything, we surveyed all of our members at the staff canteen, and the feedback was consistent. How can they give more to their employees? How can businesses support them more? And financial, physical, and mental health is a key place to start.
And what is it that you learned when you did those surveys? What were like typical the challenges that staff was facing?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing was that staff were low wage, low earners. So I think hospitality, I think it's improved now. But 3 or 4 years ago, it was one of the lowest sectors in the UK in terms of average annual wage. And so a key thing was, how can they get more for their money in general? So on everyday goods, how can they be supported doing that? And how can companies support their employees doing that? So that was something that we really focused in on and wanted to help with. And then the sort of supporting element of that comes back to sort of more around the mental health side. So having a healthy workforce, having a healthy, productive workforce. So again, having some key benefits in place that support your team's mental health. So actually they go hand in hand, financial and mental health. Look, you know, they're not separate.
No. And where are we then, you know, if you from your seat, where are we today? Because of course there has been changes in, you know, it was forced by demand, salary increase has gone up, and then also there has been national wage increases, and it's going to be one more here to April. It's one of the big topics right now. But I guess also the inflation and general cost pressure has also eaten much of that.
Yeah. So from a business point of view, it certainly started back with Brexit and losing a lot of staff. We know about that, a lot of international staff. COVID, because obviously hospitality had to shut down for a while, drove a lot of employees to other sectors. So from, you know, supermarket delivery. So finding staff has become increasingly difficult. And then, as you've just highlighted, you know, businesses at the moment, the costs are for produce, for energy, it's really high. So trying to support those businesses with their recruitment and retention has become more and more important. If you look at an average churn rate at the moment, you know, it's quite right, but it's probably around 75%. So, I mean, that's crazy. You know, you've got 100 people in your business. Every year you're having to pay to recruit 75 new people. The average cost to recruit and onboard somebody is £2,000. So you're spending £150,000 a year on recruitment and retention. So wouldn't it be good if there was a tool which helped you do that, helped reduce those costs? And that's what we're trying to do. Not a silver bullet. Sadly, there is no silver bullet out there, as all HR managers will tell you. But, you know, I think there are ways that we can support businesses with this.
Yeah, because it would be great if you could talk a bit more in detail about, you know, the elements that is in the solution, because I think that's actually where, from my own experience in developing HR strategies, implementing employee experience journeys, where you actually, there's so many touch points you need to balance. You need to get the mixture right for your organization, where it is in the life cycles, the challenges is up against, the type of culture to want to build, and, you know, benefits and compensation is a huge part of that evaluation every year when you look at your strategy and plans, that how do you actually get that working. And, you know, one thing, benefits and compensation is more than setting the salary and making sure you hit that budget. It's much more than that, in my view.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, when I get asked what's the best way to retain staff, I would always say, look, the first three things are salary, learning and development, and culture. So they're the three things that, you know, as a business and our businesses that we focus on. You need to get those right. Underneath of that, there are other benefits and key benefits that you can put in place to help support that. So with hospitality rewards, we focus on three core areas on our app. So one is health and well-being. One is saving money on everyday goods. And one is making going out more affordable. And all three of those are relevant to hospitality workers who are often of a younger age, a lower wage, and by the nature of their business, they actually enjoy going out and being sociable. So delivering benefits that support that is what we've tried to do.
I love to work with the team over at BizSimple because they are always striving to get better, 1% better every day. So I had to share this with you because BizSimple have launched a new podcast which highlights some of their favorite hospitality maverick podcast episodes over time. And if you're new or a hardcore super fan of the show, this is a perfect opportunity to catch up with some of the standout episodes from our massive back catalog. The BizSimple team has and will be extensively transcribing interesting moments from each episode while providing some new insights on our brilliant guest, the Mavericks. There's already some great write-ups with Mavericks like Chef Chantel Nicholson and the co-founder of Singerman's Community of Businesses, Ari Weinschwein. Find them at bizsimple.com/blog and click blogcast on the right side menu. Enjoy.
One of the things I noticed, like, it was very interesting what you have access to was like the whole mental health and doctor appointments as well, which I thought was like quite a strong proposition from definitely making it available from a business side.
Yeah, I mean, we'd looked at the GP support, as you'll know at the moment. Actually, I've got a young son, and back in October, I called the doctors to make an appointment for him. He had a bit of a rash, nothing major, and I spoke to the receptionist, and she said, "Is it an emergency?" I was like, "No." She said, "Okay, the doctor will call you back in 8 days' time." And I was, you know, it's really tough. And if you're running a business and your employees are ill, they need help as quickly as possible to get back to work. So yeah, we introduced a 24/7 GP support. And importantly, that's not just for the employee, that's for the employee's family. So where we can, we make all of our benefits relevant for the employee's family. So again, we have an EAP. We're a little bit different because our EAP offers 8 face-to-face counsel sessions. It's a little bit more because in my experience, if you go and see a counselor, sometimes you don't hit it off first time. So you'd use up a session. So 8 sessions are a good number. So the GP and the counselor support are particularly important for that physical and mental health and aspect. So that's I guess in a way that underpins our app. You know, that's the, you know, that's the support mechanism, and then on top we've got the sort of the financial elements, which you know, which get used much more, I guess.
If you like, you should give some examples of typical the use cases where you get in and help hospitality businesses and their employees. What is the typical one, and where have you seen some, like, you know, really, really great, you know stories and impact it has on, you know, both the employee's life maybe, but also the company's, you know, employee experience?
Yeah, so I would say the biggest one that we get is that businesses are struggling to give their staff wage increases. So, and obviously minimum wage is going up, so businesses have less money. So quite often the question we get asked and how we're helping people is how can you help our employees' money go further? Okay. So one of the products we have, which is fairly unique, is a cashback card. So it's a bit like a prepaid card. It's not a credit card. So you can just top it up with money, and then you can use it at lots of different retailers, but specifically supermarkets. And so the use case, I mean, I'll give an example. We work with a hotel group in the Southwest called Brend Hotels. They've got 1,200 staff. It's a really great family-run business. And we know we've had feedback from a couple of their employees, one particular one who, over the course of the last 12 months, he got back nearly £200 cash from just doing his regular food shopping. So it was like, to him, it was like 2-3 weeks food shopping. So that was one case. The second case from the same hotel group, actually an interesting one. A chap had just moved into a new flat, and it was unfurnished. So he then used the cashback card. He went to IKEA, where he got 8% back. He went to B&Q, and he actually saved, fully kitting out his flat, £500 in cash. So for people on a lower wage, this is vital. It makes a huge difference. It's tax-free cash for these people. And for a business, you know, if you add up what they're saving their workforce, in a way, what money they're putting back in their workforce's pockets, it's thousands and in some cases, £10,000 plus. So we've got lots of cases like that. And that's one of the joys of doing what I do. It's hearing about people where this is making a real difference to their lives.
Yeah, and how far are you with things? How many has signed up to this? How many is involved with this? You know, both companies, employees, because you've been on a journey, and you're definitely getting incremental gains, I would say, from where you started.
We're still a startup. Sometimes it feels like it. So we'll be 3 years old in June this year. We'll be celebrating. And at the moment, we've got just under 10,000 employees using our app, and that's across just over 100 businesses. So this is about supporting hospitality. Both Alex, my business partner, and I, you know, we want to support hospitality. It needs as much help as it can get. So we're adamant that we work with businesses of any size. So we've got some businesses that have 5 to 10 staff in, and some businesses, well, like I've already said, that has thousands of staff in. So we're still at the start of our journey, but it's amazing to see the difference we're making for businesses with their retention, and for individuals with saving money and supporting their health.
Like, cashback is not a new thing, and reward and discount and so on. What is it that you are doing different besides you are focusing on? You talked about Perkbox, which is one of the most known platform for this, but you're really focusing on the hospitality sector. That's your focus, that's your niche. But what is it that makes you different from the already existing solutions out there?
Okay, so there are some benefits that we have that are similar, but we have some unique benefits as well. So the cashback card is unique. So traditionally with benefit platforms, you've been able to get shopping vouchers. So e-vouchers and gift cards. And what you do is you can purchase them at a discounted rate. So that's great. But one of the feedback we got to do with those is that, one, you can only use it at one brand at a time. And two, you have to purchase the voucher, download it before you go out. So that's fine on some products if you know before what you want. But what the cashback card does, it sort of takes that, it's a bit different. You can use it at 90 different venues. And actually, you don't have to download anything. Once you've got the card, you can just be out and about and you just pay like you would normally pay with your debit card. So it's what we call frictionless. It just makes that process much easier. And I think that's super important in terms of usability of benefits. And then the second one, which we may come back to later, is our industry discounts, so our venue discounts. That's you don't find that on Perkbox or other places. So that's a massive thing for us, which I'm happy to elaborate on.
Talk a bit more about that, because that's really an interesting aspect I found as well with what you do. Talk a bit more about how that work, and you know, because that's probably where there might be some huge savings within it for people, especially if you go out a lot.
Yeah, so this goes on unofficially. So let's say, Michael, you work in a local restaurant. Your restaurant might have talked to the pub next door and the cafe next door and said, "Hey guys, if our employees come in, will you give a discount?" "Yeah, sure, we will." And then what happens is their employees go in and perhaps somebody serving doesn't know about the deal, they can't get the deal. And it's very restrictive just on those two places. And what we want to do is we believe that hospitality should be a little bit like NHS workers who have the blue light card. So you should be able to, as a hospitality worker, say you work in a pub, you should be able to go into another restaurant, a bar, a hotel, a cafe, and say, "I work in hospitality." And they go, "Great, we're going to give you a discount because we're going to help you." Now imagine, Michael, that if in the UK hospitality industry, everybody was doing that. So workers would be getting discounts when they go out to eat and drink. Businesses would be driving additional footfall. And the ecosystem would be supporting itself to a degree. So that's the vision. We have a category on our app called Perks. And we currently have around 1,000 industry venue discounts all over the UK. Has to be all over the UK. So there's Code Hospitality, which is quite exclusive. It's a great product. It's exclusive, and it's a bit more London centric. We believe it should be UK wide and inclusive. So by that I mean, it doesn't matter what type of pub, bar, restaurant you are, you should be able to go onto the platform and benefit from the footfall of hospitality workers coming through your door. So it's quite simple, really. You know, you just go onto the app, you put your location in, you see what's near you, you can then go in, and on our app, you have a membership card, you show your card, and you get normally between 10 and 30% discount. That's the norm. So we have a vision to, we believe by later on this year, we'll have 2,000 or 3,000 discounts. We've partnered with the British Innkeepers Institute. So we think that will help us. But our top target at the moment is 10,000 venues. I just have one other thing that springs to mind is in January, Green King came on board, which is really exciting, really exciting. So they've put 300 of their pubs as a first step. And we had nearly 500 redemptions in January at their pubs. You know what? That's a really great start. So, and by them giving that discount, their staff can also access these discounts on our platform. So it's sort of like a win-win. So yeah, it's exciting.
What do you think the future looks for, like when it comes to reward and benefits? Because it's in the principle an area that hasn't been much disrupted. It's been very static, I would say, in all the years I can remember, decades, what you do there. And it's just now technology makes it, you know, more agile. It can do other things than you could before. But what do you think the major disruption is when it comes to this area coming in the next 5 years, especially in hospitality?
Yeah, I would say for hospitality, it's about scale of the benefits. So you do have a varied workforce. So you need to have the right benefits and the scale of benefits in place. I would say usability is probably the very, very top of the list. You know, so many businesses, and I speak to individuals who've used other benefits, like, why don't you use it? Why don't you use it? Oh, it's just really hard to use. So, and that's a technology thing. So making sure that the way that you access and redeem those benefits is easy and integrated. So I think that would be a massive thing. And then the final piece is local or localization. So people often think about what's local to them, even with online. So making sure that benefits are based upon your location. So in real time, when you're out, you might get a notification and it says, oh, you know, Bill's Pizza has 30% off this week. Oh, okay, brilliant. So I'd say they're the three main things where this is going.
And that's super interesting. Again, it's again how technology can do, as I often call, the heavy lifting to actually make the experience better for, in principle, the user, but also from a financial point of view, it will benefit the businesses because it becomes more seamless. The transactions does happen. The customer will come to you, especially when you talk about the perks bit, which I think is a very interesting thing to work on. And especially in the days where you are, you know, you're normally your traffic goes quite down. And there's a lot of hospitality businesses now that have these peak days, and then they really have to build these shoulder days. It's not hours we're talking about. We're talking shoulder days where you actually, your Mondays and Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays even, you really need to build that extra momentum in your business some kind of way.
Michael, just on that. So in hospitality, there were 3 million. There's slightly less now working the UK hospitality industry. Imagine if 50% of those were, as you've just said, going into other hospitality venues. And as you've just said, perhaps on the days when they're not as busy, that would really support those businesses. So I think having a tool that fosters that and allows that to happen is really exciting, actually. I think it should be exciting for the sector.
If we now you just touch on a mega data point, you know, how many employees there is in the industry. So again, very big industry, quite important for the economy, often said, but maybe not supported in the way it should have been. I definitely have my doubts about that, and other people would have that. And but what is, like, you know, if we zoom a bit out now and say, okay, we came out of the pandemic, we had all our short-term challenges with cash, inflation, staffing crisis, shortage in supply chain, you know, there's so many challenges, utility bills, you can just keep on layering them, business rates, you can keep on coming up with things that just hit the industry. what do you think in the place we're in now, what is the biggest challenge that you would like to see go away from the industry that doesn't make it really thrive right now?
I think it comes back to employees. I think, you know, the employees are the heartbeat of hospitality. We're very lucky as a business. We have an amazing diverse workforce. And I think that, you know, if we can support that workforce better, if we can make them proud to work in hospitality, I think that that has a ripple effect outside of hospitality. It will bring people in. It will bring customers in. So I think that's the thing. I think we and there's a lot of good stuff happening, Michael. There is a lot of good stuff happening. Mm. There's a lot of there's so, you know, we speak to so many people, and I have to say, you know, I think from looking after people, it's looking much brighter now, which I'm excited about. So that for me is the big thing where I'd like to see this, you know, even more than we're doing now.
Yeah, and you think about as well being recognized as an industry that's very good at that, in a way.
Yeah, I think it could be better. So I think, you know, there's lots of different bodies who are trying to help with that, and there's hospitality guys who are doing really great creative campaigns. I think people could work more in their communities to work with the local communities. I think that's really good. The BII do a lot of work in the communities through their 13,000 members. And I think, you know, I think there's more we could be doing, but I think that's a massive thing for us as well.
Yeah, and I guess that's what you're trying to do, help through your product actually to make that a little bit easier. As you said, it's not the whole solution, it's not the silver bullet, but there's actually, you know, elements of this that's quite important. You know, your pay and your what cash do we have on the bottom line at the end of the month, in a way.
Yeah, I think from a business, it's a straightforward model. It's, you know, if you put hospitality rewards into a business, it helps staff feel more valued, it supports them financially, and it helps get them back to work when they're not feeling great, whether that be mentally or physically. So that saves the business money and means they don't have to spend as much on recruitment. So I think from that element, it's absolutely right. I think from an employee element, like I said, you know, if we can build out our industry venue discounts, I think when people look in, especially younger students, people coming out of university, and they're like, wow, you know, if I could work in hospitality, it's a great career path. And look at this, I can go and eat everywhere I go out. I can go and get a discount. I think that's important to young people. They like that sort of thing. And I think for us as a business, you know, we're literally at the, you know, like I said, 2.5-3 million people. So I think we can really grow within that. It's a big market. I think there's a huge amount of potential there for hospitality rewards.
If you take your own journey, you are also running a business. There's no doubt it's been a challenging year. Like, we thought the pandemic was a challenge. I often say, yeah, pandemic was the pandemic. I actually think what we're in now is much more challenging. It's a bit like sitting on the tiger and fighting with the python at the same time. What have been like, what, because when I talk business leader, they all have like different learnings they take with them from the last couple of years. What has been like your most significant learning as a business owner?
Yeah, I think with our business, obviously we'll be different to others because we're a startup. But for ours, it's sort of be laser focused on one, maybe two areas. It's very easy to be pulled around. And even with hospitality rewards, where we've got probably six great benefits, actually, if anything, we've been guilty of, you know, promoting them all equally, whereas we should have you know, we should have really focused on the ones I've been talking about. So I think that'd be my real, you know, if I could probably go back, which obviously, you know, I don't want to, because you learn from what happens. But if I could go back, we'd probably focus a bit more maybe on the industry discounts and really drive that forward, because it means a lot to hospitality employees. And it resonates with them. They understand it. So that would be it. It'd be really laser focused on your core USP, I would say. It's easy to get pulled. You'll know that. You run your own business. Just it's easy.
20% they get 80%. And I was actually reflecting as you were saying that, and we were presenting something, and I thought, okay, we actually need to narrow more down. Even though you feel you're focused, but when you start reflecting over it, there's always, you can always increase that focus, because you are doing things that becomes, you know, one of the things I feel, we have similar place in the life cycle. For me, it's the Pulse Kitchen, where there's lots of opportunity hitting you. There are lots of things you could do, but what is that 20% to give 80%? And how do you make sure you're focusing on them, you know, your 80% of your time? And that's hard. That demands discipline and the ability to cut things away and say no and be okay about it. And say that will come in the future. It will come back. Don't worry. We don't have to say yes to that. We don't have to say yes to something that will maybe just steal our time now, because we might not be ready for it, or whatever it is that, you know, maybe it's okay to say no to that investor because that's not the right investor long term. So yeah, it's like all these, you know, dilemma often in smaller business. I think you have them in big business. That's also my, you know, I work for big business, and I think it was the same, but there was just a bit more wriggle room than there is a small business. But I think all hospitality is really down, in my view, to mastering the 20% that gives 80 is really key now. You cannot afford to go to 40, 60. You cannot afford to go to 30, 70. You need to be always pulling down to the 20% on that specific day. What is the 20% that moves the needle today?
Yeah. Less is more, Michael. Just have three points on your to-do list. Any more than three, they're not going to get done.
I've done four today, and I have a couple of more, but all the critical ones are done. So I start, my view is that you start eating your frogs, like Brian Tracy would say. So you do your first four really critical ones, and then you get them out of the way, and then there might land other critical ones, but you can always push them a day ahead or a weekend in front of you. That was a great reflection. Thank you for that, Dan. What are you most excited about right now? What is it like, you know, it's tough times, but there's also often there's something to be excited about. There's always opportunities in challenges.
You know what? Most exciting is definitely our perks and our industry discounts. I mean, that really excites me. It excites me because we're bringing on, you know, household brands, we're bringing on independents. It excites me. That really does. I really think it could be massive for the industry to have that. The other thing that excites me, Michael, is supporting other people in the hospitality sector who need help. So we work with, I want to just quickly mention this, we work with Only a Pavement Away. It's an amazing charity. When we first launched, we said, listen, for every new employee, we want to donate to a hospitality charity. We're passionate about the sector. And so when we launched, we worked with the Burnt Chef Project. And then last year, we worked with Hospitality Action. But this year, we're with, you know, a really small charity, Only a Pavement Away. And what they do is they work with other charities, like homeless charities, and they basically mentor and train homeless people. And then working with some amazing hospitality employers, they put those people into employment. And then they continue to support those people once they're in the employment. So for me, you know, that excites me, because as our business grows, for every employee, we donate to that to that charity. So, you know, it's a really, really amazing cause, and it's great to help with that. So I think that's something, you know, and it's not easy. You know, we're a new business. Every penny counts.
But yeah, it does. Yeah.
I think you need to, you know, I think it's an important part of what we do.
Yeah, and I think it's very key that, you know, you get that into the business model from early on, and it becomes like the thing just happens as the business grow. It's not like something you runs as a project. We talked a bit about before we went on, and, you know, you can commit to different things, but always something that really is close to the values. And I think like you're creating mobility there again in the job market, and you are helping businesses. One of the biggest challenges, which is staffing, you know, still, I believe, is still one of the biggest. I know the costs are there, and my friend Peter Backman said it really well when I talked with him yesterday. We're going on a panel soon, and we're going to be talking about that. There's short-term challenges. They're right. There is cash challenges. Nobody will deny that. But the long-term systemic challenges, that's what should make you really scared. Can you actually get the staff to open and close your restaurant on time every day in the hours you have, or your hotel or whatever catering business you run? But what about you, Dan? There's no doubt about, I know, running any business, but especially when you're smaller, you have multiple hats on and you are not a big team. So sometimes you are in the engine room, sometimes you are outselling, other times you are dealing with the accounts and so on. So you need also to make sure that you show up in the best version of yourself. And this is one of my favorite questions to ask people. So what is it that you do to be on top of the world, to be in the impact zone, as I call it?
Do you know, that's an easy answer for me. I have a six-year-old son, and he's a great leveler. So it doesn't matter what's going on with work. As soon as I'm with him, you can't think about work. And actually that removes you from it. It just puts you in a different space. And you know, it's a really happy thing to have. So I think that's the breath of fresh air, which I really enjoy. And, you know, every weekend, taking him to football, taking him to rugby, you know, is just brilliant. You know, that's brilliant. You've got no choice but to switch off from your work. So yeah, that's the joy. You know, you could argue that's no time for myself, but you know, I tried to get out for a walk, Michael, like other people do. But there isn't that much time for that. But no, so that's the main thing for me. It's a nice, it's a healthy distraction to be with my son.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. But also, like we talked about before we started as well, like that time of silence. And I think you said it really well, that actually before you might have been listening to podcasts or music, which I think, of course, you should listen to podcasts. But I understand people also need to have silence. You need to not be, the brain has to be not fed at some point so that all the dust can settle at some point in the week. And I often use the weekend for that, you know. And because, you know, you get so much input during the week, at some point it needs to, you know, settle. The dust needs to settle. It needs to find its compartment boxes in the brain, or else you get overload at some point.
Yeah, you know what? One thing I do is one day a week, one evening a week, I sort of turn off the television, turn off the radio, and I just read different books. But I'll just sit there with nothing on at all, in the lounge, peace and quiet, and just read for an hour. Feels really nice. Not sort of work related, like fictional reading, you know, whatever it is, just something to just a bit of escapism that way as well. It's very, very, feels good actually.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to talk about reading. I'm an avid reader, and as you can see behind me, there's lots of business book, and there was a time where that was the only thing I read. Biographies, business book. And actually in the last, I think we're now starting approaching 1.5 years, I always read fiction at night. And it's not always, I just pick books. My wife has lots of fiction books, so I pick a book and I read that, and it's just to decompress and get away, get into a different universe, as you say. And it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes, or 10 minutes before I fall asleep. It just makes me not think about work in the last phase before I go to sleep.
I've got a book for you, Michael.
Yeah, let me hear.
It's daily inspiration. Here we go.
Yeah, Robin Sharma. Yeah, daily inspiration. Yeah.
So, yeah, 20 million copies sold. What it is it's got dates in it. And every day there is a different piece of inspiration. Some of it, you can take it or leave it, but some of it really is inspiring. Just general things about life. And it's really nice. You can read it when you first wake up in the morning. You're like, okay, yeah, actually, that's really good. So that's my recommendation.
That's a great one. We'll put that in the show notes as well for you out there on the book list on the show as well. What would be your top advice then to business leaders out there that are also trying to build a business to do just a little bit more than just make profit? You talked about just a payment away. That's one of your courses. But like, what is like the one thing business leaders should do out there right now, in your view?
Well, as you've already said, we're not a big team at Hospitality Rewards, but I really believe in empowering your own staff. So one of the key things for me is always, you know, I always say to my team, it's, you know, what can I do for you? And I remember the first time one of my bosses said that to me, I was like, I was almost shocked. I was like, what do you mean? What can you do for me? But actually, you know, that means so much to people when they're sort of, especially junior staff, you know, that you want to help them and I think and empower them. So that would be my tip, which is, you know, be there for your staff. It doesn't matter who they're. I spoke to a GM of a really well-known hotel and he told me that his retention rate is now 75%, maybe a bit higher. It's phenomenal. And I said, how have you done that? And they've got 170 staff. He says every single new staff member, every single person, he goes and meets them. He sits down with them. He gives them his number. He gives them his number. And he says, look, you know, if you need anything, just message me. Just call me. You know, I'm here for you. And I think that's brilliant. So that's it. I think every leader, if they had that sort of mindset and were there for their staff, no matter what level, then you know, it'd be a better place to work. So, yeah.
And it's funny when you do that, give them the number. And I can remember many have told me, I've done this in the past, that you're insane. They're going to call you all the time. No, they're not. They're going to call you when they need to call you. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times, that's worth that conversation. There could be some times where just complained about something. Yeah, you said, well, that's how we do things around here. And then you have that conversation. They accept that's how we do things out there. But yeah, it gives you like, and also it removes, everybody knows you do that, there's nothing weird about it. The GMs or the people between you, your mid-management knows that there. So it somehow helps you regulate the organization and transparency. And you feel they feel you're much closer than you might sometimes are, because there could be geographical distances and so on. But yeah, my own experience and what I've heard from people that do that is that actually gives a lot of invisible benefits to the culture, and it feeds the soul, which is the culture, with something that actually I'm open to talk with anyone in the organization. And some people say, well, that's almighty good, but you know, what does the phone number does different? But it works. It really works. And you know, and then you have to go and seek it as well. You have to go on the floor. You need to be in the front line, talk with people and ask them questions if you really want this to work as well.
Because in olden days it was called my door's always open. Of course, yeah. It's not quite the same now, is it? But, you know, with mobiles, obviously, and remote working and that sort of stuff. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the way forward.
Dan, we're coming to the end. There's two more questions I want to ask you. One of them is, what is the one question you wished I've asked you? What would the question be and what is your answer?
You know, because I'm all about hospitality, recruitment and retention and people. I guess the one question is, why should people work in hospitality? You know, I mean, that's I mean, that's like, you know, that's the big question. But, and then my answer is very simple, is, you know, hospitality is by people and it's for people. Mm. And mentioned it earlier, you know, I've worked in other sectors. So I've worked in hospitality not long, 6 or 7 years now. And before that, I've worked in, you know, publishing and other sectors. But what I've noticed about hospitality is, as a sector, the people in it are so passionate, so diverse, just really, really lovely people. And so that's it. You know, that's it. That's the question. Why work in hospitality? Because you'll just enjoy it. It's that simple. You know, you'll love it.
Love that. Love that. Where can people connect with you, Dan? Learn more about Hospitality Rewards and the great work you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm obviously on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn. We've also got our website, www.hospitalityrewards.co.uk. So there's a live chat on there and I muck in with everybody else and always answer that live chat. So, you know, feel free to message me on there as well. I think having being in a startup and having worked up in a startup, I know how tough it is. So I think it's, you know, I'm really happy to talk to anybody, have a chat. You know, I'll always answer people when if they email me or if they call me or if they message me. You know, we've all got to help each other, I think.
Great. I love that, Dan. Sending you and the team at Hospitality Reward, and I'm looking forward to keep on helping, being your ambassador and trying to help banner the great work you're doing to make life easier for definitely for the employees, but also make employee experiences for the employer just that little bit better. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great afternoon.
I really appreciate that you're listening in. So if you enjoyed today's conversation, please share with others, rate it or give it a review, or subscribe to one of our channels, which all can be done via the website hospitalitymavericks.com. I believe that reading books is key to become a great leader. So I've helped you with a curated list of some of the books that have impacted the guests here on the show and myself over the years. Find it on Hospitality Mavericks website, hospitalitymavericks.com, under the reading list. A big thank you to BizTemply for supporting us, bringing great insights, strategies, and tools to help leaders to become better every day. Check them out at BizSimply.com or on their social at BizSimply or BizSimplyHQ. You can also email them directly at podcast@BizSimply.com. If you have any ideas and feedback for the show or other thoughts, reach out to me via LinkedIn or my email, michael@hospitalitymaverick.com. I'm Michael Tingseth, and you've been listening to the Hospitality Maverick podcast show. Be Maverick.